Preparing to delve in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Delve. My name is Nathan.
And I'm Alex.
Oh, my God, Alex, I can hear you.
Oh, goodness. Oh, goodness.
What happened?
I got a new microphone.
You did?
Yes.
That's good. You know why you got a new microphone?
So that I'm here?
Well, that, and because you know how much we like to debate each other, and you wanted to register that. You know, what's interesting, Alex, is that since we were just thinking about debating each other, why don't we debate over an actual game? Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be much better.
To help us out with that, we have on the show today Matt Kwok, the designer of the primary and election-themed game coming to Kickstarter in March. Matt, thank you for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. So do you think that currently our candor is pretty good for debate?
Yeah. Perfect.
All right. Good. Because you get to kind of moderate this at the same time. This is fun.
Ooh, I can't wait.
All right. So you are actually here to talk about a game that's going to be coming to Kickstarter called The Primary. And you said that this is actually your first game that you've designed and published?
Yeah. The first game that I hope to self-publish. I've worked on a few other designs, most of which were pretty bad. So this is the first one that I felt was worthy to put out into the world and try it out on Kickstarter and see how everyone receives it out there.
That is a fun process to go through. I think you're going to learn quite a bit.
Yeah, I've really learned a lot so far, and I'm sure the month of the campaign is just going to be crazy as well.
You know, what's interesting is that you're going to be going on a campaign when the game kind of has a campaign theme, too.
Yeah, I've always loved that parallel.
So tell me a little bit about The Primary. What is the game like? How do you play?
Sure. So The Primary is a game about the primary election in the United States to become the president. It takes place within one political party, so all the players are kind of competing to get their party's final nomination for president. So you'll take the course of the game to kind of act out the campaign, where people will travel across the country, try and gain influence. There's different votes that happen across the region, across the country in several different regions. It's primarily based on area control. So the country is divided into different regions that vote at different points in the game, kind of like they happen in real life. Mm-hmm. And you're using action cards in which you'll kind of program the cards every round, and you'll select ahead of time which actions you want to take simultaneously with the other players, and then one by one execute them, and you can kind of have this little flexibility. Oh, he's doing this over here. I wanted to do that, but now I'm going to move across the country and kind of attack somewhere else. So you're trying to move around the country, win votes, and the final winner, who becomes the nominee for president, is determined by who has the most delegates, the most votes at the end of the game.
So is the theme of the game, is it more serious or is it comedic?
Sure. I feel like I've kind of tried to target the overall experience to be a little bit lighter for this game. I wanted it to be approachable, easy to teach, you know, fun to play, but you could play with your family, your friends, maybe somebody who's not as familiar with some of the deeper board games out there. So with that, I kind of wanted to keep the tone a little bit more lighthearted, but not necessarily funny, if you will. You know, I tried to poke a little fun or have some satirical approach throughout the game. So there might be something that makes you chuckle here or there. It's not partisan at all. There's no reference to Democrats or Republicans or the Green Party or anyone else. It's trying to be neutral, but at the same time kind of show where there's some flaws in our process and poke a little fun at the same time.
I like it. So what is the party that you are part of?
Yeah.
It's actually not specified in the game. There's no real link to anything in real life. There's candidates in the game that you can play as, and they have special powers and things like that, but they're not based on real people. They're just fictional characters. So I tried to draw a neutral approach in it, just so that I know politics can be very divisive, and I didn't want people to be turned away by the fact that oh, if I'm going to play with a Republican friend, this is really going to, you know, ruin our friendship or something like that.
So it's the tabletop party.
Exactly. I like
oh,
it.
That. No, I want to be the plaid party. It feels like that's all encompassing of all colors and yet none at the same time. I could just make up my political party, though, but everyone would have to agree on it, I guess.
Yeah, you can choose before the game when you start. Okay, what party do we want to be a part of here?
I'm Team Iron Man, so I guess I'll be the Stark Party,
the Plaid Stark Party.
The Plaid Stark, yeah, exactly. Plaid / Stark. There was once upon a time, Stark Industries, you know, came together with the Plaid Division. Okay, so that's cool. I do like the idea of going with the primary rather than like the general election, because that's always just a rollicking good time. Is that why you wanted to pick primary as really your subject matter?
Yeah, that was part of it. The other thing that drew me to the primary election is that, you know, in real life, different states vote at different times. So, you know, I don't know the exact duration, but it could take weeks. You know, California will vote, and, you know, Iowa is famous for going first. And then the kind of time-based nature of the primary election, I thought, would lend itself to a pretty cool board game mechanic.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, Alex and I are all the way in New Hampshire, and New Hampshire is pretty famous as a political state as well, right?
Yeah, we try to forget about that.
we're one of the first to actually vote in the nation, too.
Yeah, Hart's location is usually one of the first, and that's right next to my hometown.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
By right next to, I mean, they don't have a fire department, a police department, or a town hall. No, they have a town hall. It's a modular building.
But seven, 10 people that live in?
There's like 13 maybe.
Oh, they've had a location, growth spurt.
Literally. They don't have any of their own public services because it's such a just a small town between Bartlett and above the notch, because it goes to the mountains right there.
Right. Yeah.
So they share all Bartlett's emergency services. So it's like, you need police in Hart's location, you got to call Bartlett.
Yeah. You certainly do.
Yeah. So it's a very small town.
Oh, yeah. You blink and you miss it. It's
hey, they're famous now.
They are. They've been famous for quite a while, too, for that.
I think they compete with Evans Notch.
Oh, really?
In New Hampshire for the first in the state. Because they both have like 10 people.
Right. Right.
Gotta love those really tiny towns.
You know that, like, all those people are gonna be like, well, I guess I gotta get to the polls as soon as they open, so that they can count the votes and be good.
You know, the fun part is, at least, you know, they probably, you can tell the voter turnout very easily.
Oh, yes, you certainly can. I believe it's actually pretty high there.
You miss one person, you just lost, like, 20%.
Yeah.
I'm sure the peer pressure factor there is very big.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They have the roving street gangs of Hart's location just going, did you vote today? Huh? Did you vote? luckily, it's not that kind of town. Don't hurt me, Hart's location. They're going to gang up on me and come over to my house. When I'm playing the game, let's say that I am running on a pro-Hot Wings agenda. Like, I think hot wings are really a great thing. And then my opponent says, no, 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 sir. Barbecue ribs. That's where we're going. Is that the kind of thing that we can now get into a debate on? Could I lose constituents by not acknowledging the wonder of ribs over hot wings?
So the actual gameplay is actually not terribly political in nature. There's not really any debating or negotiating. You can definitely get into that a little bit, trying to persuade people to not hurt you or try and attack somebody else and maybe put out a negative ad against somebody else. But really, the core gameplay is mostly based on the actions that you take with your action cards, where you can kind of move around the country. You can hold a rally to, gain some influence in a specific region. You can advertise, which you can kind of attack an opponent or, give yourself a boon in a country, or excuse me, a region far away. Some of the differences come into the game with the news deck. So there's different cards for the news every round, and then, you know, something special happened that round, you know, something unexpected, you kind of have to change your strategy. But there's really nothing terribly political in nature. You wouldn't really have to act out a debate over hot wings and barbecue.
Oh, well, see, I was kind of hoping to have that debate. I guess I could, like, just do that out of game, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that kind of was shaped just by my personal gameplay preferences. I don't tend to be the best debater or the most persuasive person at the table. So I think I kind of shaped a game that I would be better at, or I would enjoy playing a little bit more.
It makes playtesting so much more fun for you, though.
Exactly.
I mean, you could just debate the mechanics of the game as your debate topic if you're going to do that. Make it political.
Make the mechanics.
This game needs more dice.
The dice versus cards debate. We can get into that. I feel like no matter what you do, Matt, people will figure out a way to politicize a game. Did you find that during playtesting that people would, like, just impose things on the game, even though you said, no, that's not the point. That's not the point.
Yeah. I mean, definitely people will interject and kind of get into the political spirit and theme of the game. And, you know, when they play a negative ad card, they might say something nasty about their opponent just for the fun of it. Some of it does come into play where, before people commit their cards that they're going to play for the round, you might try and negotiate a little bit and say, hey, you know, leave me alone over here. It looks like he's really in the lead. You know, focus your effort on making sure he doesn't win an election. I don't really pose a risk to you. Mm-hmm. So I think through all of that, people can kind of bring more of the political spirit into it if they want.
Yeah. So in some ways, you can determine if you want to make it like a political satire, even though it's not really built that way.
Yeah, for sure.
Excellent. So, since we were just kind of debating cards or dice, what are the primary mechanics of the game?
Sure. So the main mechanic that most of the action takes place is through programming of these four cards. So every round, you'll take from your hand of cards and you'll select four that you want to play. And you'll place them face down in the order left to right that you want them to be executed. And everyone does this at the same time, so it's simultaneous. And you have a couple options. So you have a bus and a plane that help you get around the country. You have a positive ad and a negative ad that help you spread influence or take away somebody's influence. Fundraisers help you gain influence to then later spend. And there's a super pack, which everyone kind of tries to play the most cards so that they get the most favor from the super pack, and whoever plays the most gains the most influence. So once you have your four cards programmed and decided on, everybody will take turns flipping over their card and executing the action until everyone's gone through all four of their cards. So that's the main way in which people kind of execute their campaign strategy during the game.
And I really need to get all of Super Pac-Man money.
Does this show require I watch the episode of the Colbert Report, or the multiple episodes where they explained exactly what a super pack is?
So that's part of what I'm hoping to do with the game. I think, you know, I've introduced a couple concepts of our political system, both with the super pack and some of the news cards, and, you know, you can interject some theme and flavor through the titles and maybe some flavor text. So I think there's enough there where if you're intrigued, you're like, well, what the heck is a super pack? You know, maybe someone will go out and Google it and watch the Colbert Report and maybe learn a little bit and want to get involved.
Beautiful. Now, for those cards, do you have any sort of like political artwork, sort of like you would see in like the political cartoons or something to that effect?
That's actually an awesome idea.
Thanks, I get those once in a while.
Right now they don't, just because some of them have a few different nuances that they try to explain in the text just to make it very clear in what you're supposed to do. So they're themed as like an app on your phone where you're scrolling through the news and you see, oh man, today there was this natural disaster and all the candidates have to evacuate their current region. So right now we don't have anything like that, but that would be a really cool idea.
Yeah. Political cartoonists, I feel like you could probably get for a fairly reasonable fee. I feel like they might just do it because they would be happy that they don't have to do anything explicitly political in the real world. Like in this make-believe world, it might actually be more fun for them.
So yeah, it'd be a nice break for them, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't have to actually draw a cartoon about something that's actually happening here. It's like a political fantasy that you get to go through. That's terrific. Am I looking to score points or constituent points of some kind?
Yeah, so the votes that occur in all the different regions award you delegates. Kind of similar to the real primary election process that we have. Mm-hmm. So when you win a region's vote, the regions are assigned a certain amount of delegates depending on their size. The numbers were based on real life values, but we kind of had to round down from the thousands into
sure.
like the tens. So some regions you win all of their delegates outright. Some regions there's kind of a first and a second place. Just to add some variety throughout the map. So at the end of the game, you want to have the most delegates that are kind of on your side. They want to back you, and they'll vote for you to become the nominee.
Oh, very nice. I do want to be the nominee, and I'm worried that I might have to sacrifice a lot of my ethics in order to do that. Are there any cards that just say, like, sacrifice your beliefs for the votes? I need that card. I'll play that immediately.
The closest thing that we have is the negative ad, where it's a free action. You just have to play the card, and then you can remove an opponent's influence from any region that you want. So I think a lot of people actually kind of feel bad the first time they play it. You know, a lot of people don't like confrontation. Obviously, in a board game, it's a little bit easier, but sometimes people, you know, they hesitate. Like, I don't really want to play this against my friend, but... once you do, you realize it's a pretty powerful card.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could think of a bunch of great negative ads to run against Alex.
Yeah. The entire existence of me.
Pretty much.
It's a negative ad for
pretty
you.
Pretty much. It's pretty much just, look at this face. Will you trust this face with the nukes? Think about it. What would my negative ad be, Alex?
Look at this face. Remember, he can invade your dreams. He's Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, me and my friends like to use the Parks and Rec reference where whenever we play a negative ad, we have to, Delve Podcast never worked a day in its life.
It's legit, though.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I have to give him that. So, Matt, why did you want to make this the theme of the game?
I think the concept came initially from the primary election. You know, I think over the last really 2 years or however long the last election took, it seems like forever. But, you know, it really kind of inspired me to start thinking about issues, and I kind of, you know, became more and more interested in politics. And just throughout that course, it kind of came to me, well, wow, this could be a pretty cool game. Obviously, politics can be kind of a love-hate thing. And I think a political board game could be very similar. You know, it might turn some people off right away. Some people might be very interested just because of the theme. So I'm definitely have some concerns about that. And that's one of the things that keeps me up at night. But I think throughout the course of designing the game and all the different gameplay mechanics, it just became, it came to a point where the theme and the gameplay became so intertwined that I tried to look at other themes, what could be more, you know, marketable or more friendly to a larger audience, and I just couldn't think of something that would work as coherently as I feel it does right now.
And I think the smart thing of making it generic so that it's not real political parties or anything like that is really smart. It makes it evergreen. You play this from
sure, sure.
10 years from now, work the exact same way.
I didn't think of that, but you make a good point.
Aha! Forward thinking. That's always my thing. I like games that try to be evergreen so that you don't feel like there's a specific time and place to them, that they work regardless of the time you're actually playing them. So I think that this lends itself well to that. If that makes you feel better, I'm certainly happy to help you sleep better at night knowing that you did a smart thing there.
Yes, thank you very much.
Absolutely. So how much play testing went into the game?
So I actually started this, I think, about a year ago. And I have a spreadsheet somewhere, but I don't have it up. I think, well, it's definitely had over 100 play tests, both myself playing and some people playing remotely. And I've also worked with a couple people as sort of a third party development service, if you will. This is kind of my first attempt at publishing a game, so I wanted to make sure I really got it right. And there's actually a great community of board game designers here in Madison, Wisconsin, where I'm at. So they've been very supportive and a great resource to just play the game and give feedback. So it's been a great experience and development for sure.
Is that where you're based out of?
Yeah, I've been in Madison for the past 2 years.
Oh, beautiful. So has it basically been the last couple of years that you've been designing the game?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty new into not just board game design, but board games as a whole. Mm-hmm. I obviously played, all the familiar games growing up, like Monopoly and Risk. But really within the past few years, starting to get into more complex and heavier games, hobby games. And then really within the past 2 years, have tried my hand at designing games just because I loved them so much and figured, hey, I could probably do this myself, and then learned it's a lot harder than you might think.
A lot of people learn that lesson. It's going to take a little bit of time. What games were you referring to that you wanted to kind of pull from for the process?
I kind of wavered between like the two extremes, I feel like, where one approach that's pretty common is play as many games as you can, and then you have a great foundation to build upon, and okay, I understand all these mechanics, I've seen a lot of things before, I can kind of draw inspiration from all over. And then I think some people also take the approach where I don't want to play any games, I don't want to look at anything that might be even remotely close because I don't want to steal anything, or I want to come up with something that's just so different. So I think I probably ended up somewhere in the middle. I definitely researched all the political games I could find. I played a couple of them. I kind of skimmed the rule books of a few others just to make sure that the game wasn't ending up, too close to anything else that was out there. But I think in the end, it probably drew just from games I was playing at the time or games that I, enjoy. And that's just kind of how it formed naturally, I think.
We are kind of shaped by games that we're familiar with. I get that.
Do you, Nathan? Do you?
No, I rarely get much. But, I think that would make me really good at this game. I think I would just, I would throw caution to the wind if I were playing the primary and just hope that people liked my platform, which I'm still going to say is Hot Wing centric. I still think there's a lot worth pursuing in that platform.
Far superior to barbecue.
Oh, yeah. Free ice cream Friday. That wins elections.
If you're in like fifth grade.
Aren't we all? Kind of.
Just you. Are you smarter than a fifth grader, Nathan?
I think it is obvious that I am not.
Oh, all right.
No shame in that.
I get points for honesty, right?
No. Not in politics, you don't.
I thought that I don't score points for that in the primary.
No, you usually score less points for that.
But I thought that transparency was the thing people liked.
Only in Windows.
And even then, stained glass is really prettier, so...
Right.
Very true.
Semi-transparent is good, too. I feel like semi-transparent is good, too, is actually a really good political slogan. So, there might be merit in that. We are going to come back with Matt Kwok to discuss some more details about the Kickstarter itself and also some future planning that we kind of made for him on the next episode. But if you are interested at all in the primary, please keep an eye out for the Kickstarter, which will be starting very soon. March 15th is when it launches. And make sure to follow them on Twitter at Mountaintop Games. Now that is at MTNTOP Games. And then you can keep up to date with all of the stuff that Matt is doing. And before I get a lot of nasty comments back online, I want to make it very clear that the Plaid Stark Party has not really established a firm position on hot wings versus barbecue ribs. We just felt like maybe it was the kind of issue that played really well in the sectors of the country that we're trying to target. But again, this is all being workshopped right now. Nothing definitive, folks. Don't worry. If you want to find out more about Delve, you can go over to DelveCast.com and we will show you all of the things that we did. Show note, you might notice that in the month of March, there are more episodes being released than we normally do. That has everything to do with the fact that we ended up talking to several people in recent days that have Kickstarters that are going up in March, and we wanted to make sure that we could release all of those episodes in a timely fashion. So you're going to get more Delve than you normally do in March. And if you want to make sure that you get those episodes as soon as they release, please make sure to follow us on iTunes and Google Play. And please rate and review and subscribe when you go. You can also find us on Twitter. I am at Citanium. Alex is at EXP Limited. And the show is at Delve Podcast. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Since we recorded this episode, I started to think a little bit more about Plaid Stark and thinking to myself that, you know, maybe it should just be the Plaid Party, that we shouldn't feel like we have a corporate interest involved. But then I started to think, you know what? I'd rather bring back the Whig Party. You know, it's been so long since they've been around. Maybe we should have them make a comeback. I'm not really sure. We'll talk about some more intriguing political ideas that are no stupider than normal political ideas on the next episode of Delve, when we return with Matt Kwok and more on the primary. Until then, thank you so much for listening to the show. Good night. Oh, beautiful. Has this design process pretty much started? Yeah, I had a sentence all structured, and then I just went off the rails with it.
Good job. It happens. You don't need rails. Political system's unhinged anyways.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, here we go. Thanks. Segue right back in.